In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who brings us together by the power of His Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't often use notes, but I'm going to have to do it for this one, just for this little opening bit, because there's a lot of numbers. In 2004, 410 people brushed one another's teeth while standing in a circle in New Zealand. Well, they brushed one another's teeth. They didn't like share toothbrushes. But they all stood in a circle and one person reached over and brushed the teeth of the other person. 410 people. That's quite a few. In 2013, in Cumbria, in Britain, 867 people dressed up as Superman. It was the largest gathering of people dressed up like Superman that we have had, well, thus far in the world. Which actually looks kind of small when you compare that to the 4,891 people that dressed up like Smurfs in 2011. So I guess from that we get that Smurfs are more popular than Superman. All of that, those Smurfs apparently still could not rival the world's largest group hug, which actually sounds kind of frightening to me. The world's largest group hug was 10,554 people. And I have claustrophobia, and I can only imagine how scary that would be to be in the middle of that. And yet all of these people were able to come together, and they were able to do something together in order to make it a record that I then could look up on the Guinness Book of World Records website. All of these people were able to come together and to do that stuff, like dress up like Superman or be a Smurf or brush one another's teeth, or have just a gigantic group hug. And all of those things are things that these people decided, well, that's something that I want to do, and so let's get some people together and let's do this. And so it got me to thinking, well, what could we do here at University Lutheran? I have a friend who's a pastor who, for a very short period of time, held the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest speech. Longest sermon wasn't available, so longest speech. And then he got knocked out by a guy in India like a couple of weeks later. So I was thinking, well, we can rival him. We could do something here at University Lutheran. And there are some smaller numbers. There's some things that I think are actually in the grasp of University Lutheran. One of my favorite ones that's actually kind of in the grasp is the largest parade of zombies. It's 84 people. I think we could do it. We just all have to dress up like zombies and decide on a parade route. It's doable. Absolutely doable. And that would probably say something about us. I'm not exactly sure what that would say about us, but I'm sure that people would think that that would say something about us. And all of this kind of togetherness, all of this bringing things together, I mean, it's all very sort of heartwarming until we get to Genesis 11. And then in Genesis 11 we go, oh, working together, that's a bad thing. Working together, that is something that God really doesn't like. Because in Genesis 11, you get the story of the Tower of Babel. And in the story of the Tower of Babel, you have these people that come together, and they don't want to do a parade of zombies. They don't want to dress up like Superman or the Smurfs. They don't even want to brush each other's teeth. What they want to do is they want to build a big tower, probably sort of like a pyramid, so that they can reach up to God. And as they're reaching up to God, God looks down on them, we get from the text, and it's so far away, they're reaching up to God, that God says, well, we have to go down there and look at this cute thing that these people are doing. And so God literally, it says, descends to view the Tower of Babel. And as God descends to view the Tower of Babel, there's something amazing, I think, in the text. God gets worried. I mean, doesn't that strike you as a little bit, oh. God says, well, we can't let them continue to do this. We have to change up their languages so that they can't work together anymore. And sure enough, that works. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that God said, well, they can do this. Isn't it interesting that what God has done in creating human beings and creating human community way back when he created Adam and Eve, that what he did when he was creating that was he was creating a force to be reckoned with. He was creating a force that God himself would get concerned about. Now, God's not getting concerned because he thinks that they're a threat. Because they're not. Obviously, God is coming down from the heavens and he's looking at their little sandcastle and he's going, oh, isn't that cute? What God is concerned about is the threat that they pose to themselves. God is concerned about the threat that they pose if they are able to continue to work together on this horrific mountain of an idol to themselves, that what that's going to do to them. And so God says, well, I'm going to confuse their languages so that they can't work together anymore. And sure enough, even today, we see the effect of when sinful people work together. We see the effect of what it is like when sinful people work together and they coalesce together in racism. We see what it's like when sinful people work together and they coalesce in unjust wars and terrorism. We see even what it is like when sinful people work together by not working together and choosing apathy and choosing to not do anything, and in that sin just as much as racists and terrorists do. And we see what it's like, and we go, well, God, maybe you could do it again. We obviously are not meant to be, well, communicating with one another. So first things first, could you knock out the internet? Second thing, we have about 7,000 language groups. Maybe you could just double that. 14,000 language groups. That would really confuse us. It would be a good thing. And in fact, God, let's make this completely just not about anybody else anyway. Let's just make this completely about us as individuals. And let's just make this, well, I don't want to communicate with anybody else. I just want this to be me and you, God. If this could just be about me and you, and I could receive all of these good things from you, and we could have this kind of talk, well, then everything would be okay. To which God goes, oh, you're just as bad as the people from Babel. Because the thing that is the problem is actually not the collective action. The power that God has given us inherently as human beings, and the power that he has given us in the possibility for human community, is not the issue. The issue is much deeper and is rooted inside each and every one of us. And the issue is sin. The issue is this horrible deformity of what God created in us. The issue is this thing that in the people of Babel, they somehow get this idea in their heads that rather than worshiping God, that the thing that they should do is that they should worship themselves. And when you get a bunch of those people together, when you get a bunch of those sinners together, it's a frightening thing. And I think that's why a lot of times we push away from the table when it comes to any kind of collective action, because we're afraid of the risk. Yes, we're probably a little bit afraid of the risk that, oh, well, this might inconvenience me a little bit. But we're also afraid of the risk of, oh my goodness, well, what if this actually happens? What if we work together and we do something collectively and it turns out to be the wrong thing? Because we're afraid of that. We know that we're sinners. We know that we can mess this thing up. We know that even with the best of intentions, that we can take a good idea and do it the wrong way, or take a bad idea and do it the right way. And we're afraid of that. And so we push away from any kind of imagination that we have of what it means for us to work together collectively with somebody else. And we see hallmarks of that throughout our culture. As we look at people that are turned in on themselves. St. Augustine's way of describing what it is to be a sinner, to be turned in on yourself, to not be turned outward to your neighbor and not be turned upward to God, but rather have both of those things, both of those commandments of Jesus, to be turned in on yourself so that you love you love yourself with all of your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and that you love yourself as yourself, and then nobody else is invited into that little party of yours. And yet God does this crazy thing. God does this crazy thing by sending His Son, to wipe out the major issue. The major issue, again, is not collective action. If it were collective action, then the story of Pentecost would have been totally different. The story of Pentecost would have been like Peter in a room by himself and getting this mysterious vision from God, and then all of a sudden saying, okay, well, this is what I am supposed to do. And then Peter would go on and he would be this sort of champion of the faith all by himself. And we would look back and we would say, oh, wasn't Peter a great guy? Too bad those other 10 schlubs or 11 schlubs didn't get with the program. But no, right away after Jesus dies, after he raises from the dead, you have a group. You have collective action, and it can be collective action, not because collective action is a bad thing, but because sin is a bad thing, and sin has been destroyed at the cross. And when sin is destroyed, no longer do you have a band of sinners that are getting together and messing everything up. All of a sudden you have this amazing possibility where you have an army of saints who are working together for the good of God. All of a sudden, instead of this group of people that make horrible decisions, you have a group of people that are inspired by the very Spirit of God in order to do something good for the world, because they have been healed and they want to see that same healing in the rest of the world. And you have a possibility for us to work together, again, not to build ourselves towers, but to proclaim the name of the One who loved us so much that He died on the cross, so that others may experience the freedom of what it is to have your sins forgiven. And in that freedom of being forgiven, invite others to work together in the kingdom of God. We could probably do a zombie parade. There's about 85 members here at University Lutheran. We could do some other stuff too. Do those things fit with who we are as forgiven children of God? It's a big question. It requires a lot of thought and a lot of prayer. And so this week, while you're thinking about it, while you're praying about it, may you remember that you are forgiven. That the root of sin in you has been destroyed. And because of that, God has placed you in a community of saints here at University Lutheran, especially if you're a member. And that we are called together to do something that 85 people in Tallahassee can do by His grace. Amen.